The views, opinions, and comments expressed by hosts, guests, and callers of this show are not necessarily those of this station, its parent company, Telesouth Media, its staff, management, or advertisers. Content of this broadcast cannot be duplicated or used in any way without the express written consent of Telesouth Media Incorporated.
Now join us for Advisors Roundtable with your hosts, certified financial planners Greg Cooley and Bubba Labus. It's professional advice for your life.
We thank you for being with us at the Advisors Roundtable. Certified financial planners Greg Cooley and Bubba Labus with you here from the Cooley and Labus studios and Super Talk Radio. So, Bubba, you know, we get an opportunity to come in contact with a number of people, and every exchange and every encounter gives you an opportunity to learn things, and you learn how to deal with different persons and personality types, that sort of thing. And I also pick up some inspiration from watching television, certain series, yeah, certain characters. Now, you know, I don't walk around trying to be Charles Bronson or you know, somebody like that, Clint Eastwood. But
and you're certainly not Jordan Belfort.
I'm not. Yeah. So, but you and I, we like to quote movies.
Mm-hmm.
We like to quote things we learn from book. So I see these as opportunities to learn.
Yep.
A lot of people are annoyed by, you know, something that's anything different than the way they perceive or they experience life. They just want everything, everybody to be like them, or everybody to have been from the part of the world they were from and not open up to anything new.
Sure.
And we see that when we're trying to talk to people about maybe a new concept. You never have had a financial advisor before, or maybe you never have. You didn't have any money,
mm-hmm,
and the only way you came into money is somebody left it to you,
right,
and now you're scared to death you're going to lose it. Mm-hmm.
Or you've come into money over a period of time, and now you're in a new world, so to speak,
mm-hmm,
and you don't know how to deal with it.
No, not at all. And maybe if you'd opened up,
mm-hmm,
and been perceptive and receptive and watched the people around you or listened to conversations around you or maybe met somebody new, or when you were watching television you were thinking, you know, if I was in that situation, what would I do? Maybe you'd be prepared for a different concept, mm-hmm, or a different way of thinking. So that's what I want to talk about today. Specifically, all creatures great and small. A lot of people, Masterpiece Theater, PBS, that sort of thing. A lot of people know what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever seen this series?
I have, and I've read a brief synopsis of it, and mm-hmm, I'm looking forward to maybe starting it as a new series.
Yeah, it very entertaining. Mm-hmm. The characters are characters.
Yep.
It's set in the 1930s and mm-hmm 40s over in Yorkshire, England. A couple of veterinarians,
mm-hmm,
okay? And that's the reason it's talking about creatures. All
right.
Creatures, great and small. They'll do the small, you know, the small little piglets, and they'll take care of kittens and, mm-hmm, and puppies, but they also have to deal with cows and,
yep,
and sheep and other creatures. And you know, you got these various clients. You got mm-hmm these other employees, and they have the writers. It actually was taken from a book that was written a few years ago, and the writers of this screenplay have done a really good job,
mm-hmm,
of sucking you into, you know, even if you're from the southern part in the United States, they kind of suck you into that community.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And there are a few things I can learn from watching that series.
Okay.
Number one is people want great service.
They, without a doubt, they do.
Now,
and if you don't provide great service, or you go somewhere where you don't get great service,
mm-hmm,
they are quick to let the world know.
Yeah. Pick a thing like a restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
Are there some restaurants that in your mind, when you think of the restaurant, you think the menu and the service? You
yeah
think, hey, they got a great menu, mm-hmm, and I've always gotten great service
yep
there. maybe a place that you would choose to take your spouse on Valentine's Day or something like that. Huh? You don't do
Valentine's
that.
Day is for amateurs. Yeah. You know, my spouse, every day is Valentine's Day to her, right?
We're going to have her on the show to just verify that one day, right?
It's unique that you pick restaurants, mm-hmm. right? There was a television show called Restaurant Rescue or Bar Rescue or something mm-hmm. along those lines. And there's some famous guy that's known for turning around failing or struggling restaurants, that sort of thing.
Yep.
And one thing that stuck out to me that individual said one time is that you've got to get individuals back into your restaurant mm-hmm. a minimum of 3 times for them to be a loyal customer.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So what happens the first time? Well, you come in, you have great service, you've got great food, great atmosphere. Well, you had a good experience, you want to come back, right?
Okay.
You come back the second time, maybe you don't have as good of service or food or whatever. You're like, well, I don't know if I want to go back there or not.
I'll give them one more chance.
You go back and one of those things is off. So you've got to create that customer experience every single time and replicate it every single time to have a loyal customer base.
Yeah, and so if you're a business owner out there and you're listening to this, and these are some things we've gotten from All Creatures Great mm-hmm. and Small and a series about a small business, basically, these two veterinarians, what do I need to learn from or what do I need to make my goals from the first rule, people want great service?
Yep.
Well, they may not come back at all. They may not come back the second and third time if they don't get good service on the front end. Also, what is you giving me good service? What does that say about you and about your attitude to me, the customer?
Well, I think number one, it shows that you care about your business, your mm-hmm. craft, or whatever you're doing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Providing good service shows that that you're willing to go above and beyond to provide whatever the need is that you're fulfilling, whether that's delivering a steak to somebody's table or, you know, doing their taxes for them or mm-hmm. providing insurance mm-hmm. or financial services.
Yeah. And, we have experienced recently this volatility related to war and other things going on in our economy and mm-hmm. high interest rates and all that stuff. Are there certain clients that you know they're nervous? They're scared to death.
No question. And doesn't matter how much education we do for these clients, mm-hmm. They're still going to be nervous about it.
Yeah.
Why are they nervous? It's foreign to them. And you've got to realize that. You've got to know that, hey, while we deal with this every single day, this is something that is near and dear to them.
Yeah.
Their money.
Yeah, very much so. And so maybe we've reached out to some of those mm-hmm. people.
Yeah, proactively.
Yeah, because we know them, mm-hmm. and we know that this would be part of great service, and we want them happy, but we also want a healthy financially and also psychologically. Mm-hmm. And so therefore, maybe going the extra mile, making a phone call mm-hmm. before they call you, because you know they're sitting at home stewing or worried.
Or answering the phone when they call you. Mm-hmm. I got a call last night, as mm-hmm. a matter of fact, about 6:30 at home.
Mm-hmm.
And I answered the phone, and the gentleman said, well, I thought I was going to leave you a voicemail. You know, I didn't know that I was like, well, you know, my phone, it sometimes rings through from my office line, especially if it's going through to voicemail. And I saw the caller ID, and I was like, well, I wanted to pick it up just to answer, you know, see if anything was wrong or anything that I could help you with.
Mm-hmm.
And very appreciative of that.
Yep.
But, you know, being on call
24/7
can be taxing on an individual.
Yeah, exactly. So we're going to go to break. And when we come back from break, we're going to continue to talk about things we can learn from situations around us, even television series like All Creatures Great and Small, from the Advisors Roundtable on Supertalk. Back at the Advisors Roundtable, certified financial planners Bubba Labus and yours truly, Greg Cooley, and we're talking about learning about people and customers and opportunities from things happening around you. So the first thing we talked about is that people want great service. The next one is...
Let me touch one more
thing on great service and always being on call.
Mm.
It's difficult at times because you and I want to go out of town. We want to be on vacation.
You got a family too.
I've got needs and things pulling me in other directions.
Yeah.
I think I quite frequently say, you know, I'm pretty used to working half days,
mm-hmm.
you know, because 12 hours is a half day, you know, and I say that kind of jokingly, but like, we're on call 24/7, you know, or it seems like to me.
Yeah. I get a phone call last night. Somebody tells me one of our clients has passed away.
Right. And you know, I like being in the position to be available to take those calls.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes you just need to turn it off.
Yeah.
So from a communication standpoint, when we're talking about full service, you mm-hmm. know, even in our business, mm-hmm. we've got lines of communication that are open. We've got emails. We've got staff, you mm-hmm. know, available to take messages.
Mm-hmm.
We've got text lines, mm-hmm. And especially with the text line, which I think is important because, you know, we've got a whole team that, mm-hmm. that can see those texts that come in.
Yeah, that's the cool thing about our text line where when people text it, there are four or five eyes looking at
right.
that. Somebody's going to get back to you.
And usually pretty quickly.
Because your eye may be out of town, but another mm-hmm. one of the advisors can respond or on the service team or whatever
mm-hmm.
and get people taken care of and respond to the need that they have for good service. And it leads me to the second thing, and that is, you know, most of the time, you know, we do want to get paid something.
We do.
For our professional services.
Mm-hmm.
We, however, run into this situation where sometimes people can be resistant to paying.
They can be. Now, I think that we do a very good job of this by explaining how we get paid on the front end.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's not a mystery.
It's not a mystery. We've got very, very transparent ways that people can pay us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it used to be with financial services and other things, you had no clue how mm-hmm. compensation occurred.
Mm-hmm.
And in many cases, you still don't.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that we are very forthright and very transparent with our clients on how we get paid.
And how that we think that that method of payment is best for them, but also it's fair.
Yeah, absolutely. So I was looking here at an example of this
mm-hmm.
And where people might be reluctant or maybe not want to pay, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, well, you know, who do you not like to pay? Lawyers?
Because
usually something is either gone wrong or you're getting something corrected that needs to be corrected.
Yep.
But, you know, assuming that a law practice,
mm-hmm.
right,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, senior attorneys bill anywhere between $200 and $500 an hour,
mm-hmm.
You've got junior attorneys that may be billing at a little bit less of a rate. You've got paralegals that do a little bit less secretarial work
mm-hmm.
That would be a little bit less mm-hmm. Than that. But, you know, all equaled out. It's pretty sizable.
Mm-hmm.
So as you pay an attorney, you might come in and you say, hey, you know what? I need such and such. And the attorney says, well, I think that that's going to take about 3 hours. It's mm-hmm. going to be $900 to do this.
Mm-hmm.
But it could go over if we have this or this happen.
Mm-hmm.
At least they're up front and tell you, you know, what they think it's going to take to do it.
Right. Have you ever gotten a bill for whatever? From your mechanic or your
mm-hmm.
doctor or the guy who does your lawn. And boy, it shocked the you know what out of me.
I paid one today.
Really?
Yep. As a matter of fact, it was to a physician. And uh-huh. I was like, are you sure about this? You know, I thought I already paid this amount and you're saying that I owe this much more? That's, you know, another can of worms we could get into.
yeah. But
retainers are another thing that, you know, attorneys could charge.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not necessarily a flat fee, but it's working towards what they know they're going to, because they like to be paid up front sometimes.
Sure.
You know?
Sure.
You know, another thing would be like a flat fee. If you go into an attorney's office and they've got a specific thing like creating an LLC or doing a trust or doing a will or, you know, changing a land deed or something along those lines, those are pretty standardized, I think, and they know about how much time it's going to take.
Right.
But if it goes over the amount of time, or you take a lot of time getting, you know, information to them, mm-hmm. then it could be eaten into their pocket.
Yeah. And I think a lot of times initially you may have sticker shock when you get a bill from something. But then when you think about all the services that were provided to you.
And that's what I wanted to bring up, too. So, like with an attorney's office, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you've got an attorney. Mm-hmm. You've got maybe a junior attorney. Maybe you've got several paralegals. Maybe you've got several secretaries. Mm-hmm. And you might initially say, $400 an hour? Well, there's a lot that goes into keeping that engine running. And I mean, you've got the overhead of the building. You've got errors and emissions insurance. Mm-hmm. It goes on and on and on, right? So those services are expensive.
Yeah, but they are. And it probably is easier to swallow and digest if you know it on the front end. It's been fully explained. As you said, we try to do so that it's transparent. But people just naturally, we are a little resistant to paying for things. We want to get a deal. You know, whether you're going to the grocery store or you're going to buy a car, you still are resistant to pay the highest price.
Yep.
And so we've learned that about people, and that's one of the reasons we try to, as you said, on the front end, try to have all of this explained. The third thing that we can take from observing people is we shouldn't take our best clients for granted.
No.
You know, there's a certain restaurant in town, a group of my friends, including you, we go a lot for lunch there. And I have to admit, we probably get a little specialized service. You know, a lot of times they know we're going to come for lunch, and so they'll reserve a table for us. And a lot of times we get our iced tea refilled pretty often.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one of the reasons is because we're consistently there. Secondly, I think most of the time we're pretty easy to deal with. Thirdly, when the holidays come around,
I think we tip well.
We tip, you know, and we give them, and we find out somebody's birthday and whatever. I'd really not go as often if I went often and I felt like I was taken for granted.
Right.
So, you know, if you're a business owner and you're thinking about it, you know, I've got these consistent customers. I think you need to show them that you appreciate them, that you don't take them for granted, whether that's give them a special deal. You know, a lot of these chains have the thing where you buy 9 sandwiches from us, you get the 10th one for half off or for free or whatever these loyalty things. A lot of times you go into a store and they'll ask you, are you part of our loyalty program or whatever? That's trying to show people that we're not taking you for granted.
Right.
Have you ever been taken for granted when you know, you felt like, hey, man, I come in here all the time. Or every time I buy tires from you, and I don't feel like you ever show me any appreciation.
Yeah,
you
or don't reciprocate in any way.
Yeah. Give me a deal every now and then. So
one other thing that I would say about that, and I don't want to come across and say that your best clients are always your largest clients.
Mm-mm.
So, you know, sometimes I would make the argument that your best clients are in our industry, right? And what I see, your best clients are the ones that you really like to engage with. They take instruction well. They're open to suggestions. Whereas you may have another client that is maybe wealthier, maybe brings in more revenue, but they're a little bit more difficult to deal with, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I had a client ask me, and over the years, several clients have asked me, how do you treat everybody equally?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if somebody comes in and they've got $20 million and I come in and I've only got $5,000.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell them very, very bluntly, I can't treat you equally,
right?
But I can treat you fairly.
Mm-hmm.
somebody with $20 million may require a whole lot more activity, a lot more expertise, a lot more inputs than somebody with $5,000.
Right, right.
Conversely, somebody with $5,000 may require a whole lot more hand-holding, that sort of thing.
Educating.
Education, and that sort of thing that maybe the $20 million client does not require. So I can't treat everybody equally.
Right.
And nor should that be a goal. I think it should be to treat everybody fairly.
Yes. That's a very good point.
Yep.
And one that all businesses, I think, should keep in mind that, some people, they're just going to require more time. And I have to give it to them because they are one of my best clients and customers.
Yep.
But I haven't forgotten about everybody else either.
Yep.
And so we're going to go into break, and when we come out of the break, we're going to continue this discussion about not taking your clients and your customers for granted, and talk about a point about entertaining your clients.
Yeah.
And should you? And how should you? From the Advisors Roundtable on Supertalk. Back at the Advisors Roundtable, Certified Financial Planners Cooley and Labus with you from the Cooley and Labus Studios on Supertalk Radio. And we're talking about learning from things that we come in contact with, or maybe movies or books or a series. And specifically this one, All Creatures Great and Small, that is a masterpiece production that I give probably about 11 lessons that we can hear, learn. And number one was that clients want great service. Number two is sometimes they're resistant to pay. Number three, don't take your best clients for granted. Number four, if you really like your clients and you really like your business, you probably need to entertain your clients. I think this is very, very important. Now, what do I mean by entertain your clients?
Well, so you often think about this and think of, well, I'm going to take such and such client to a sporting event, a football game,
out to dinner,
out to dinner, right?
Right.
Or you come up with some kind of an event to do. Many people think of like a holiday event or a Christmas dinner or party that they would take them to, right? Or maybe if they're out of town, you send them a gift certificate to somewhere. Our specific industry is very unique in that we've got very specific limitations on what we can do for clients.
Yeah, that's true.
And we're regulated to a very, very stringent degree on what we can do for our clients. But I think where we entertain our clients is all within the bounds of what our regulations say that we can do. And I think it's important.
Well, it shows client appreciation, doesn't it?
It does. And I think more importantly, what also it does is it shows appreciation, but it also allows you to connect with clients in maybe a non-business type of environment.
Not in the office.
Not in the office, right?
Yeah.
You can, and granted, our business is so personal and what we do is so personal. Everything about your money is personal, right?
Yeah.
And your family and your health, and, it seems like we delve into all those.
We do.
But, even in a non-business environment, it's good to get to know.
Well, you can let your hair down, and you can talk about somebody's kids, and talk about their day, and talk about what kind of car they drive.
Yeah.
Get to know them better.
Sure.
And really show them that you appreciate, and you want to have a relationship with them.
The thing that I was going to say is the relationship, I think, is the biggest key there.
I think it is. Now, that is specifically all those comments we just made specifically related to our business and our industry. But let's say that you owned a floral shop. You were a florist. How can you show your clients appreciation? Mm-hmm. Well, maybe on a Saturday morning, you teach some kind of flower arranging class. Or you have somebody come in and do something like that. Or, as I said, you have one of those loyalty programs where, somebody buys a certain number of arrangements or whatever. You give them something off on the next purchase.
Right.
You're just saying thank you.
Yeah, you are.
That's really what you're doing. Saying thank you. The other lesson here that I want us to get to that's on our list is that repeat business is very important.
Yes, it is.
Because with repeat business, they're saying they like you, they trust you, mm-hmm. they appreciate you, they know your services, and they want them again.
Right.
Right? And they probably, when they come back, and it, all that stuff I just said, they're mm-hmm. saying to you without saying a word. But you can also probably assume that away from the office, they're recommending you.
That's right.
So you're looking for, if you're in a small business, you're looking for clients that are the two R's, repeat mm-hmm. and referrals.
That's right.
Isn't that one of the lifeblood points of a small business?
And without any question, I think that a referral from another individual is the best form of marketing that you can get for any business.
Right, no doubt about it.
Think of it with a restaurant. Hey, you know what? I went to this restaurant the other day, and I got to tell you, I had the best service and the best mm-hmm. meal and mm-hmm. the best time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, immediately, if Phil goes into that restaurant, he's kind of expecting that, mm-hmm. but he's also got a good attitude about it, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, yeah, because he's been told by somebody yeah, he likes and trusts
really
that this is a good yeah. place and that they take care of you here. Yeah.
And if he goes in and says, well, you know, it was all right, but not great. Maybe they had an off night. I'll try it again.
Mm-hmm. Because mm-hmm. you told him you had a good experience.
Yeah.
So he's going to be more lenient with them,
mm-hmm.
right? Here's one I think that a lot of people in small business don't do, and that is keep up with technology.
Yes.
Now, is technology always fun?
Especially over the last 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
What has technology done over the last 30 years?
To every facet of life.
Yeah. So 30 years ago.
Yeah.
Not 1996.
Yeah.
There weren't a whole lot of businesses that had computers on desks.
Right.
Right?
Especially on everybody's
yeah.
desk.
We were just at the infancy stage mm-hmm. of email and mm-hmm. internet.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe for some tech related businesses, but other businesses, you know, they were what I would call still in the Stone Age back then.
Yeah. And I'll give you an example for me. A few weeks ago, I had my annual checkup with my doctor. And I go to my doctor, and they do blood, and they take 4 or 5 vials out, you know, and he checks all the things head to toe and asks me lots of questions and looks in my mouth and my eyes and my ears and listens to my heart and my lungs and whatever and feels in a couple of uncomfortable places for me and, you know, all of that sort of stuff. And it seemed like everything went well. Well, I've been going to this doctor for almost ever, like 20-something, mm-hmm. 30-something years. And he and I have a really great relationship. He's a client of mine also, really good friendship. We share a bunch of different things in common. And, you know, we sit and talk. I probably keep him more than his staff wants him to spend in my operatory. Mm-hmm. But whatever. We're doing the whole thing. My experience in the past has been that I'm going to get a printout of my blood work.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to tell me, you know, how my sodium was and is my cholesterol right mm-hmm. and is my HDL-LDL ratio, whatever. I'm expecting a printout. Well, about 2 weeks after I'd been there, I didn't get no printout.
Mm-hmm.
So I called the girl that I know who's the office manager, and I said, you know, I was in there a couple of weeks ago. I didn't get a printout. She said, did you not read our notice on the window?
Yeah. No, I didn't do that.
No, I didn't do that. What does the notice say? Well, we communicate with you now through an app.
Yep.
There's an app out there that you can go, and it's got all my stuff on it.
Mm-hmm.
My customer, my client, my patient, whatever, you know. And, man, it's the coolest thing in the world. But here I was as the customer, not really expecting that, and it surprised me.
Sure.
But it's a cool thing, and I'm glad, and I'm ready, and I also appreciate the fact that my doctor is doing that technologically. So that means he's also probably keeping up with all the medical stuff and he's staying on the edge, the cutting edge, of if he's staying on the cutting edge technologically, he's probably staying on the cutting edge of keeping up with diagnostics all that other stuff.
That's right.
All right. Here's one. Everybody who has any money at all and is a customer of yours, whether you're in the floral business or whether you're in the landscaping business, the radio business, or you're a doctor, everybody who comes in, you want to be paid by them. Mm-hmm. And so they've got their own personal finances.
Yep.
They got their own personal financial situation. Can you make any a lot of assumptions that everybody's going to be the same just because they use you? No.
No, you can't.
No, you can't. And so, you know, when somebody comes in, whether it's into our office or they go into the florist or whatever, you know, we don't necessarily initially mm-hmm. know everything about their finances.
That's right.
And are people, are they willing to share that?
It's a very intimate thing, I would say.
Yeah.
So, you know, as people are needed to manage finances, mm-hmm. right? You look at it from the business level.
Mm-hmm.
So even with our business, we've got a full-time CFO, Chief Financial Officer.
We do.
Make sure that the appropriate bills are paid on time, that money goes where it needs to go, that vendors are taken care of, that billing operates on the appropriate level and manner.
Yep.
There are checks and balances in place.
Mm-hmm.
So all that happens within a business. But if you take that to a personal level, right, mm-hmm. to a family,
mm-hmm.
well, you've got the same needs within a household budget. Or a household business, if you will.
You do.
You've got income coming in. You've got bills that are being paid. You've mm-hmm. got savings that are happening.
Mm-hmm.
All these other things. And if you're not good at that, maybe that's something that you hire out or get some expertise to help with.
Yeah. And a lot of small businesses don't have that.
Yep.
I mean, we've talked about this before, but a lot of people who run their business, they're the only person managing, mm-hmm. paying, receiving, answering phone. I mean, you can get run ragged, right?
You can, very quickly.
And you need somebody to help you manage all of this. Mm-hmm. Now, is it easy to ask for help?
It is not, and it's difficult to relinquish the reins, so to speak, to let somebody else do that as well if you've been doing it all these years.
Mm-hmm.
It's difficult to give up control.
You know, my wife is that CFO mm-hmm. you talk about of our business. She's our chief financial officer.
Yep.
Well, recently she kind of talked to me over the last year or two about, you know, one of these days, even though you and Bubba don't say y'all are retiring, mm-hmm. one of these days I'm going to have grandchildren, and I do aspire to retire.
Yeah.
And so,
just so you know, I told her, I said, you're not allowed to.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
But we brought my daughter in to help start learning mm-hmm. that trade and learning that job. Well, we're talking about my daughter,
mm-hmm.
and my wife really doesn't want to tell her everything.
Yeah.
I'm like, you got to release. It's not an easy thing
right.
to do. So we're going to go to break and continue this discussion about learning so that you can develop your small business from the Advisors Roundtable on Supertalk. Business owner back here at the Advisors Roundtable, Certified Financial Planners Cooley and Labus with you. If you're a small business owner, you know, you're up against it. Every day is a struggle. Every day can be rewarding. But on the other hand, we're trying to help you, trying to give you some of the things we have learned and some of the lessons that can be picked up, not just from your life and what you know, but also from things around you, even from movies and series and books. And today's show has been about 11 lessons that you can learn from All Creatures Great and Small. And if you haven't watched the masterpiece thing, I think it's very entertainment. So very good entertainment. So I'm going to run back through the list of what we talked about so far. Clients want great service. Clients are resistant to paying. Don't take your best clients for granted. entertain clients from time to time, mm-hmm. say thank you and we appreciate you. Repeat business is very important. Keep up with technology. Someone needs to manage the finances. Those are things we've already gotten through.
Right.
That's 7 of the 11. We got to get 4 mm-hmm. here in the next 7 or 8 minutes.
We can do it. I got faith.
All right. So here's one. Number 8. You need to fix customer problems.
Yep.
You know, don't put it off on somebody else. You run a small business, and sometimes you didn't do it. Sometimes it's one of your employees. Sometimes there's a miscommunication. Sometimes there's a misunderstanding. Sometimes the customer basically is mostly to blame mm-hmm. for this. But you, if you want that repeat customer, yep. and also if you want to maintain integrity of your business, you need to make sure that the problem is fixed.
And quickly. So fix it quickly and make sure that it's fixed the right way, mm-hmm. right? Because it can become a bigger problem if you don't.
Yeah. Yeah. So I had a guy who he's passed away, but he used to do handyman work for me mm-hmm. around my house. And I trusted him. I left a key to my house. He was in and out of my house when nobody was there. Mm-hmm. He was in and out of my house when only my wife was there. He was in and out of my house when my wife and kids were there. Everything was good with him. He yep. passed away. But before he passed away, he was doing a little job for me. And it had to do with replacing a bowl, a basin, mm-hmm. and some fixtures in a bathroom yeah. sink, a bathroom basin there. And so he did all that. He gets about halfway home. Now, this is a long time ago before everybody walked around with cell phones. Yep. There was a time in yep. history before everybody walked around with cell phones.
And it was glorious.
It was. Yeah. He pulled over somewhere and went and borrowed somebody's phone because mm-hmm. He was like 8 or 10 miles away from my house. And he realized Karen and I are probably going to get home from work any minute here.
Yeah.
And he realized he didn't connect something like he should, mm-hmm. the grease trap down there. Yep. And he called and said, I messed up. I got in a hurry. I didn't get it connected. Mm-hmm. I look over here in the seat and there the thing is. Yep. I'm turning around to come back, but I'm letting you know. Don't use it. Don't turn the water on, buddy. Right. Mm-hmm. You know, and you know what? I didn't remember his mistake. Mm-hmm. Mostly. You know what I remember about that?
That he called you and told you about it and said, hey, I'm coming to fix it.
Quickly. Mm-hmm. As soon as it became part of his consciousness, yeah. he pulled over and called me. You're sending a message to your customers when you fix things, mm-hmm. especially mistakes, whether they're yours or they're somebody yeah. else's. Owning those mistakes is a sign of maturity. Not just as you as an individual, but of you and your business. And from time to time, you're going to have clients that have issues. And, you know, not every day is going to be rosy. So if you're a small business owner, fix the mistakes. Next, always be prospecting. What does that mean?
Well, so as a young financial advisor in Atlanta, a big city, and I didn't know anybody, I had a very simple and easy job task
oh, really?
That I was required to do.
Okay.
I was required to call people that I didn't know and ask them for all their money. And that was called prospecting.
Okay.
Yep.
And how did you do this?
Well, I did it on the phone. And I would call individuals like Phil, and I would say, hey, Phil, you know, I'm a financial advisor here at this company. Mm-hmm. I know you're busy. Can you tell me a little bit about, you know, investments that you have or if you have any interest in investments? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And usually I would be greeted with a quick, don't ever call me again, and somebody hang up. Mm-hmm. But, you know, one out of every 100 Whew. People that I would talk to would generally talk to me a little bit.
Really?
Yeah. So that one out of a 100, and let's say that I made 300 dials per day.
Yeah.
That's a lot of activity. Yeah. And I had 3 individuals that would talk to me. Maybe one of those individuals was actually worth pursuing as a client because maybe they had money, they had investments, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. So that was a prospecting pipeline, if you will, okay. right, of potential new customers.
Now, where'd you get your list of all these 300 you're calling?
Back then, you bought them. You had list brokers. Okay. You know, the company would provide lists to you.
Okay.
I wouldn't want to say that it was as easy as just looking at the phone book and going down through the A's, B's, and C's. But it was kind of like that.
It was kind of like that, yeah. right? Yeah. Now, if you were out there and you owned, I've been using this as an mm-hmm. example throughout this show. If you owned a florist, mm-hmm. How would a florist always be prospecting, always looking for new customers, always yeah. doing marketing? How would they do it?
I think that they're advertising. You know, mm. they're waiting on people to call them, mm. but you know, maybe they're also going to funeral homes. Mm. They seem to use a lot of flowers, mm. saying, "Hey, you know, anybody that you send to us, mm. you know, we're going to give you a $5 rebate on every order." Mm. You know, maybe that's a referral program that they've got. Mm. Maybe they're talking at churches. Here's the unique thing about a florist that mm. I learned the other day.
What's that?
They said, "Hey, you know what? We know that prom is coming up, and we're going to do a class on how to put together bouquets for the girls
the
doing prom
and all that stuff."
And I said, "That is genius! You got all these girls that come in, mm-hmm. and they're putting together their own thing, yep. and they're paying for the class and paying for the flowers, and they're doing all the labor."
Yeah, and now those young yep. girls mm-hmm. know you,
yeah.
and when they get ready to get married, mm-hmm. and when their grandmother passes away, yep. and their boyfriend. When he's going right. to participate mm-hmm. in what you call Valentine's Day?
Amateur Day.
Amateur yeah. Day. Yeah. They got a contact. They sure. know somebody they mm-hmm. like, somebody they got a connection with. So, yes, always be prospecting. Next, some businesses should be avoided.
Agreed. Sometimes the headache is not worth it. Sometimes personalities don't mesh. Sometimes it's not a good fit. Sometimes you just outright need to say no to potential new business.
There are some people that just almost aren't worth the trouble.
Yeah, or you know, it might be some business that may tempt you, or they want you to compromise your ethics or your morals. Mm. And in that case, it's not worth it.
It is.
To me, it's not worth it.
No.
To others, it you know.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I guess how far do you bend these rules?
Yeah.
But for me, it's not worth it at all.
Yeah, and if you start getting, you know, in your mind, mm-hmm. in your brain, in your soul, you have these little alarm bells that start to go off like this person probably is going to be hard to deal with. A lot of times it's just better to trust your judgment and walk yeah. away.
Mm-hmm.
Very last thing, not all outcomes are happy ones.
You can't please 100% of the people 100% of the time.
I'm afraid not.
And you've got to be prepared for that.
Yep.
You know, go back to this restaurant business that we were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to be able to please 100% of the people 100% of the time.
You're not. And I think it's important that you understand that you don't necessarily take it personally unless you should.
Right.
Unless you cause the problem.
If you cause the problem, then maybe there's some things that you need to change.
There you go. But on the other hand, what our message is today is always be learning.
Yep.
Always be perceptive. Always try to figure out how to make yourself and your business better so that you got those long-term relationships and you got long-term clients out of it. All that from the Advisors Roundtable on Supertalk.
The discussion and content expressed by the host of the Advisors Roundtable are intended to be received as news, educational, and entertainment or unit items and are not to be accepted by the listener as legal, investment, insurance, or tax advice. Opinions and views will be expressed by guests of the Advisors Roundtable, and those opinions and views are those of the guests alone and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Advisors Roundtable, host, or any of its affiliated radio stations. All information provided is educational in nature and is not intended to be acted upon without first consulting the appropriately licensed professional of your choosing. Before acting upon any information obtained during an Advisors Roundtable broadcast, an individual should understand matters are extremely tax-specific and require advice tailored to individual facts and needs.
Advisory services provided through Ignite Planters, LLC.